Previously on Talk to Dad.
I feel like this story is getting long and boring, but that's okay. I'm just going to power through. Side.
Paranoia and trust issues.
Clowns under the bed, clowns in the closet, clowns peeking down from the attic access.
Oh, I don't like that.
95% of all the beef jerky I've ever eaten has been on a car trip.
Would your dog give you treats if he could?
Oh.
The answer's no.
Georgia woman finds 18 snakes living under her bed.
Would you rather be eaten by a zombie or be burned at the stake?
No. Try to run, but then I would just fall and drop dead.
Well, yeah, but you have to run.
And I wouldn't have to finish if
you
I died.
You have to run.
Talk to Dad.
Hello and welcome to the Talk to Dad podcast, episode 253. I've got Henry here with me.
Hello.
And also Allison, sometimes called Mom.
Hello.
And we have a very special guest today. Santiago is here.
Hi.
So Santiago is going to be staying with us this school year. I think we might have talked about it on the podcast before that we would have a foreign exchange student staying. And Santiago is here all the way from Spain. So you've been here about 5 days now?
Yes, more or less.
Something like that. So, and he agreed to come on the podcast. So we thank him for being here. He said he might not talk that much.
Yeah, but...
But he'll talk when he has something to say. He asked us right before the podcast talk started, is it common for Americans to all have podcasts? And I don't know how to answer that question. A lot of Americans have podcasts, but probably not most Americans.
I wouldn't say
Americans.
A majority.
Not most Americans, but some do. But anyway, it's something we've been doing for... How long has it been? 4 years? 5 years? 4 years.
Five, I won't say.
It was...
5 years, because it's 250... This is our 253rd. We've missed the last couple of weeks because of vacation and everything. But for the most part, we do this once a week. And then we put it on the internet. And like... maybe tens of people listen to it.
I think we started in 2016.
That sounds right.
That sounds right.
So
on Father's Day in June of 2016.
So 5 years.
So 5 years. Yep. It all checks out. Anyway, so a lot has happened since last time we were on the podcast. In addition to Santiago joining us in our house, summer vacation ended. Should we talk a little bit about your trip to Utah? You guys left for Utah. I think our last podcast was right before you left, and then I stayed home alone for a week, cooking my own food. Maisie is making noise, as she tends to do whenever we podcast, because she feels like we should be playing with her and not podcasting. I stayed home for a week, and you all drove out to Utah to visit family. Anything exciting happened while we were there?
1 second, I'm thinking.
We went on a river rafting trip. That was fun.
Yeah, that was fun.
There were some rapids. Maisie. We gotta give a quick Maisie update. Maisie is hungry. She is like, sometimes when she's hungry, she like puts her paw in her bowl and moves it around to just get our attention. She's hungry. I think I'm going to feed her, even though she'll probably make a lot of noise in the background, which will be distracting. Mom's
I can do that. I can do
that.
I think we should.
All right. Henry got up to
Let's move it to the laundry room and shut the door.
Okay. We'll move her dog dish out of the room so it doesn't make a lot of distracting background noise.
She's really loud when she eats.
But she's hungry, and I feel bad for her.
Yeah.
So we went river rafting. What else did we do? We saw a lot of mountains. It was nice to be up in the mountains where it's cool, and there was good scenery. And out of the Texas heat, because it got really hot here. So Maisie is eating her food in the laundry room. That's why you can't hear it on the microphone. What else did we do? We got to see family. We got to hang out with cousins. We got to go hiking a little bit. I don't know. Anything else exciting?
It was exciting to see everybody, I think.
Mm-hmm. It was. I hadn't seen people for like almost 2 years because of the pandemic. We didn't really travel last summer.
And kids grow up in 2 years, and they're babies that we hadn't met.
Yeah.
It was just fun.
We saw them online. We saw them like with Zoom calls and stuff, but we hadn't seen them in person for... been a long time for me. Some of the rest of us had seen people a little more than that.
Yeah.
And school started. So Henry, mm-hmm. How was first day of school?
It was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Actually, as of now, we've had 2 days of school, which both felt like first days because we had different classes on both days.
Yeah. Because so you've only had, you started on Thursday, you had Thursday and Friday. You had an A day and a B day. Santiago, American school is a lot different from Spanish schools.
It is very different and it's very diverse. So there was a lot of kind of people that I would never meet in Spain. So that was very nice.
Yeah, I think the high school that our kids go to is very diverse. There's a lot of different mm-hmm. people go to that high school. And that's kind of, we like that about it. And you've got... like, I think you were explaining to us, like, in Spain, you just stay in the same class all day long, right? And the teachers change, maybe?
Yeah, like, the classes work more or less like this. Like, all the people have the same subjects, more or less. There are, like, two branches, like science and the people that are not from science. And the people of the same group stay in the same class. And mostly, in most of the schools, they will be with the same persons all of the years.
Like, from when you start school to when you finish school?
Yeah, mostly.
Yeah, and you're in the science group?
I'm totally in the science group.
Yeah. So, I know, like, you were surprised that some of the classes that they offer in American high schools, like... flower arranging.
It's floral design. Apparently a lot of people are taking that, though.
I already met two people that take floral design.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, you get to take orchestra as a class. Did you have an orchestra class?
No, I don't. Like, I had an orchestra, but it wasn't in a school. So it's kind of shocking, like, all of these subjects, like, art cooking or floral design or all of this stuff that I would never find in a Spanish school, they will be outside of the school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot you can do outside of school at the high school too, like sports and stuff like that. But there's a lot mm-hmm. you get to do as a part of school too. So probably very different.
Sports is also in the school. Like
mm-hmm.
you have, I think it takes up two class periods.
Yeah, and then you practice with your team either before or after school also. But they do take it as a class too if you're in a high school sport.
Yeah. When I was in high school, I did wrestling as a sport, and I did running, like long distance running, were my two sports mainly. And then a bunch of other stuff, but I don't know. Mostly that was after school for me though. We didn't get to do it during school. I think that's changed since I was in high school, like a lot of things. But what else is going on? Last night we watched the first episode of What If, which is the new Marvel TV show. And it's like, it's an animated show and it's alternate histories for like a multiverse. And I think they're going to do one a week. I don't know how many episodes there will be. But the first one was like, what if Steve Rogers never became a super soldier and instead Agent Carter did?
Yeah.
She became Captain Carter instead of Captain America. What did you think of it?
I think it was pretty good. Yeah. It was very well animated, but and this could have just been Disney Plus because sometimes Disney Plus will go out of sync with the audio.
Uh-huh.
But the lip syncing wasn't quite there. Yeah, it might have just been Disney Plus, though.
Or it might have been our sound system, the streaming, or yeah. I don't know.
I liked the animation, too, although I thought Peggy Carter's character didn't look that much like the actress who plays Peggy Carter.
Yeah.
No. Steve did. Steve Rogers, the animation looked just like the actor.
But I thought it was kind of fun. It was really fast moving. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the other ones. I thought this one followed like the plot of the first Captain America movie pretty closely. Other than being like, you know, that character swap.
But was kind of similar, like...
Yeah, it hit a lot of the same plot points.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the suit was cool.
Yeah, so the Steve Rogers... This is a little bit of a spoiler if you haven't seen it yet, and if you care about that, just, like, don't listen for the next couple of minutes. But instead of Steve Rogers becoming Captain America, he has, like... Howard Stark creates this robotic suit for him called, like, what was it called?
Hydra Smasher.
And it's like this big mecha suit. That was pretty cool. I don't know. I thought the action sequences were pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
They were good. And I always like a good mech suit too.
Yeah.
They're just cool.
It was
fun to watch.
It seems like there was a movie we watched since last time.
What's that called? The one in Italy?
Luca.
Yeah. Oh, we watched Luca. Yeah, on Disney Plus. The new Pixar movie, which I don't think was ever in movie theaters. I think he just released it on Disney Plus. Mm. I thought it was like pretty good, but not great. I thought it was like a solid B. Like was my rating for it. Like it was fun, but it wasn't like, I don't know.
It wasn't amazing. It wasn't like the best Pixar movies, like Toy Story 3 or Up or... I don't know. There are some good Pixar movies.
It was still pretty good, though.
Yeah, I liked it. It was good.
I don't know. I feel that movie was especially good, like really, yeah, really good. Yeah. I really liked it.
It was fun. The characters were fun. They kept talking about Vespas. I kept wondering if Vespa was paying... any money.
Sponsored.
Because they said Vespa so many times in that movie. Mm-hmm. It was fun, but it was like, I don't know. Like, I think the story was just, it was kind of a small story, which isn't a bad thing necessarily.
That's good.
Yeah.
I thought the animation was really good. I loved just the way the island was drawn was really just beautiful. And like, you felt like you...
It made me want to visit that little seaside town in Italy, for sure.
Probably doesn't exist.
Probably not.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of towns like that.
I'm sure it's based on something.
There are probably a lot of towns like that, but I don't know that particular town exists. What else? Henry's been writing a lot of music.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have your demo? Should we listen to your demo a little bit?
I have a couple of demos. This one was one I recorded at one point, like a while back, like a couple months ago, but I re-recorded and also added a bass line. I should send it to you, actually.
You want to send it to me or you want to play it right off your phone?
I'll send it to you.
Okay.
Might be easier.
All right.
Also, I'll have to email it to you since text, you can only do like a certain size of file.
All right. So which demo is this? You said you had two demos. We'll just listen to it.
Yeah, we'll just listen to it.
Okay. Is it two different guitars?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, now I hear the second guitar.
No, that's bass.
Oh, that's bass.
That's the bass part.
The bass just came in. You got drums and two guitars. Mm-hmm. Together.
Yeah, I used Ableton for it. I should put all the files in there.
I think this is a different one than the one I heard the other day. Huh. Unless it's the same one and I just don't remember.
I think it might be the same.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm particularly proud of how I made each instrument sound. I mean, the drums were like a MIDI track, so I didn't actually play drums for it, but I liked how that sound. I did this thing called EQing where like like certain ranges of frequencies can be turned up or down. And I think that really helped it. Like, I made the lead guitar part, the do 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 do, that part. Mm-hmm. I made that sound like really metallic. I mean, it was already metallic since I was using like a Telecaster, which is a type of guitar, but I made it like even more metallic by doing that. And also, another thing I'm really proud of is I accidentally, on the rhythm guitar, I accidentally left in like a little scratch on the strings when they're muted, like mm-hmm. right before the guitar actually comes in. But I actually kind of like it.
Kind of so, like
gives you like a bit of like almost like a warning before it comes in, and I really like that effect.
Yeah, I just remembered when you were talking that another thing that happened since last time we had a podcast is you had a birthday.
Oh yeah, that's right.
So you're now 15 years old.
Didn't I don't have, think we talked about that on the
podcast. Podcasted after?
No, we left like right after my birthday.
We podcasted right before the podcast. We talked about his birthday coming up.
That's right. That's why we were discussing clowns.
We should discuss that. Oh, yeah.
All the clowns. So how many clowns surprised you on your birthday?
Unfortunately, zero. Oh.
Zero surprise clowns.
I feel like I failed.
We were talking about how it would be funny on his birthday if we just hid clowns around the house and had them jump out and say happy birthday to him. And he was saying how horrifying that would be.
Yeah.
But what reminded me is that you got a new guitar for your birthday.
I did.
So you got a Telecaster.
Yeah, it's this type of... I'm going to try and explain. It's like a type of... It's a Fender brand, but it's like a type of guitar that sounds sort of metallic.
It's a little twangy.
A little twangy, yeah.
It's got single coil pickups, if that means anything to anyone out there.
I don't even know what that means.
That means
I think it means like one row.
Your other guitar has a humbucker, which is a double coil. This one's a single coil.
Okay.
And it's a little more of a, I don't know, more twangy sound. Like a cleaner, crisper sound, and the other one's a little more muddy and I don't know.
But yeah, I really like, specifically on this guitar, how like close the strings are to the frets so that you can press down things more easily. It just feels really nice.
Makes it easier to play.
Mm-hmm. Also, I think the neck's shorter, so that's also really nice. Yeah.
So you and your brother have been playing, and I know you got Santiago to play along with you.
Oh yeah, we did get him to play like once.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really don't know how to play bass, but they show me a little thing.
Just like a short bass line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And just remember, like, Henry didn't know how to play, like, 6 months ago either. So.
Not 6 months ago. That
like a year ago, maybe.
Like a year ago.
A year ago.
Yeah.
So, there's plenty of time to learn.
I would try it.
Henry and Santiago both play cello.
Yeah.
So that's fun. Yeah. Sometimes I hear someone practicing and I assume it's Santiago.
Fair. Why?
Yeah.
Because Henry doesn't practice that much.
Well, I probably should practice more than I do.
Yeah.
But you do practice like guitar and drums. I practice those a lot. A lot, like a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I find it really fun.
Cello, not as much.
I probably should practice cello more though.
Santiago, did you notice when you were playing cello the other day that Maisie was howling?
I did not know that. Like, she told me that she was howling, but no, I don't. Well, that
you didn't notice.
Yeah, whenever anyone plays cello, especially, I think she just starts to howl. Like
she started howling when Will got out his viola too.
Yeah,
she likes to sing along to the stringed instruments.
Yeah,
especially. Yeah,
it's really funny.
You'll hear her sometime.
It's really funny. Let's do some news.
Now your tomorrow morning's headlines tonight.
I have a really exciting story.
Howdy, folks! This is Big Tech.
That sound is the sound of a giant cowboy at the Texas State Fair.
It's like a robot
called
thing.
Big Tex. There's something like called statue, the State Fair of Texas, and it takes place in Dallas. So every year in Dallas, they have the State Fair. So every state in the United States has a State Fair.
Yeah.
They have a little county fairs, and then there's a State Fair. And the one in Texas is here in Dallas. And down at the Fair Park in Dallas, they put up this giant robot, and he talks to everyone. And he says, howdy, folks. But the other thing they do at the State Fair of Texas is they have really crazy, really bad for you food. It's kind of a tradition, and they have a contest called the Big Tex Choice Awards, where different people can invent crazy foods, and then they have a contest, and they have it judged. And we have the finalists for the Big Tex Choice Awards State Fair of Texas food finalists. I've got the list here.
Are they all fried?
They are mostly fried. There's two categories. There's savory and there's sweet. So the savory finalists are, there are five of them. The first one is crispy, crazy corn. It is fried sweet corn nuggets topped with pulled pork, pineapple slaw, jalapeno crema, and cilantro.
Would that be sweet or savory?
That is a savory.
Okay.
This has got pork on it. I wasn't sure. I think that sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
It sounds like something they've done before.
These all kind of sound similar.
They
really
all sound familiar.
They all sound similar. It's usually there's something deep fried, and then there's other stuff. I think we need to go to the State Fair this year for sure, because this is something that Santiago needs to experience.
I do want to go.
And we will try the crazy food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would try that. If you put that in this table and say, this is a classical thing here, yep. I would eat it. Like,
this is traditional.
I would try all of these.
Traditional Texas food.
All this food every day, it would probably kill you very quickly. But just to go and experience once, it's worth it. The next one is called Deep Fried I-35. So I-35 is the highway that goes through Dallas. Deep Fried I-35 is a sweet and savory kolache. I told you about kolaches the other day.
They're
it's
pastries.
Like a kind of pastry,
yeah,
that is in Texas, and it's from Czechoslovakia. Mm. It is a sweet and savory kolache filled with brisket, peaches, and Dr. Pepper glaze. That sounds really weird.
But so Texan.
Yeah. So it's got barbecue brisket, like beef, but then also peaches and Dr. Pepper frosting.
That's very weird and very Texan.
But it's a finalist, so it must be kind of good. I don't know.
I guess.
Maybe it only is a finalist because it's so weird. They were like, we have to include this one.
Maybe.
The next one is deep fried seafood gumbo balls. Hmm? It is fried bites of loaded shrimp, chicken, blue crab meat, and andouille sausage, served with a side of dark roux sauce. That sounds pretty good. I would eat that.
Yeah.
And then the next one is Lucky Duck Dumpling. It is a pastry filled with cream cheese, duck bacon, and herbs. I never had duck bacon before. I don't even know what that is. But it sounds
I'm good. Not entirely sure either.
I didn't know you could make bacon from ducks.
I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't had duck meat before.
You never had duck of any kind? Mm. It's pretty good. It's like a dark meat. And then the last one in the savory category is pork shots. It is smoked sausage wrapped in bacon, then stuffed with macaroni and cheese. And the makers call it a party in your mouth.
Okay.
I'm not sure the party's going all that well in your mouth.
Pork shots. I would eat it.
Okay.
I would try it just to see what it would be like.
So those are the finalists in the savory category. Here are the finalists in the sweet category. The first one is called Deep Fried Halloween.
Oh, no.
Halloween, being my birthday, is a day that I like a lot. It is a large, chewy pretzel bathed in candy corn syrup, covered in orange and white buttercream icing, then topped with marshmallow whipped cream. The pretzel is then stacked with Halloween candy like Reese's Pieces, Mini Twix, Oreo crumbles, and candy corn. Wow, that's a lot.
I can feel myself getting sick just listening to that.
That sounds awful.
No.
That sounds way too sweet.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's like a little kid to start to put snacks together in one dish.
Yes.
That's exactly what it's like, yes.
And someone deep fried it.
The next one in the sweets category is called the armadillo. Do you know what an armadillo is?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay.
An ice cream sandwich made with two armadillo-shaped cookies made with a branding iron, then drizzled with cookie butter and dusted with sugar. That sounds pretty good.
That does sound good.
That one sounds pretty good. You can never go wrong with an ice cream sandwich.
Hmm. Well,
as far as I'm aware.
I think you could.
But well, you could. It would just be hard.
Yeah.
Well, I found once ice cream that tastes like grass. And they sold it like, yes, like ice cream of grass. It was green and it tasted like grass.
It just tasted like grass.
Yeah, it was awful.
That doesn't sound good. Did it contain grass?
No.
Was there grass in it? No, just grass flavored.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
The next category, or the next finalist in the sweet category, is brisket brittle. It is peanut brittle, but the peanuts have been replaced by smoky brisket.
That just confuses me.
Barbecue candy.
It's meat candy.
Meat candy. I don't know about that, but I would try it.
How'd this become a finalist?
Oh.
Then the one after that is Fernie's Fried Toffee Coffee Crunch Cake. It is chunks of cake donut topped with English toffee, crunchy almonds, and sweet custard, then dipped into an egg batter and deep fried. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's the deep frying it at the end that really puts it over the top. And then the last one is Texas Pumpkin Poke Cake. It is pumpkin cake covered in vanilla glaze, caramel syrup, and whipped cream, and then dusted with a secret spice blend. That one sounds good. That just sounds good.
Yeah.
I would eat that.
Yeah, probably.
Have you had pumpkin pie before, Santiago?
I really don't know because the traductions, but I suppose that no.
So we are just about into pumpkin spice season here in the United States. It's very popular. Lots of stuff becomes pumpkin spice flavored. Like a lot of people have pumpkin spice latte at Starbucks. Like it's one of their most popular drinks of the year, and they start serving it probably in...
Spicy coffee.
No, it's not spicy. It just has spices.
It's got like cinnamon and nutmeg.
Cloves.
And cloves. So like,
it's all the spices they use to put in pumpkin pie.
Yeah.
But
so a very traditional American dessert for Thanksgiving and Christmas sometimes is pumpkin pie. It's a pie that's made out of pumpkin. And you will definitely have pumpkin pie this year because you'll be here for Thanksgiving.
Okay.
It's pretty good. It's kind of a custardy...
Yeah. But
cinnamon.
And in the fall, they make pumpkin spice flavored everything. Like pumpkin spice cereal, pumpkin spice cookies, pumpkin spice
desserts,
hot chocolate, pumpkin spice.
Yep.
Soda.
Or Texas pumpkin poke cake.
Right.
So we will go, I promise, if at all possible, we will go to the Texas State Fair this year and we'll try some of these things. We will know by then who is the winner in every category, but because it's a finalist, all of this stuff will be served at the state fair. So you would have an opportunity to eat all of this stuff, even some of the stuff that seems
terrible. Really
weird and terrible.
I can't wait to prove that stuff.
Yeah. All right. Henry, do you want to share your story with us?
Sure. The headline is, "It's happening. Ice worms emerge in Pacific Northwest glaciers."
Yikes.
Ice worms?
Yes, ice worms.
This is a global warming problem.
Yeah. So I'm pretty sure what's happening is that hundreds of thousands of tiny black worms are emerging from a vast expanse of white snow that I'm pretty sure is melting. So these worms were first discovered in 1887 in Alaska. And they've been spotted there since a lot, and also in Washington, Oregon, apparently.
Are they moving south? Like, are they coming for us?
I think they've been, like, frozen in glaciers, and now that the glaciers are melting...
They're still alive?
Are they alive?
Well, they are alive. They've been alive. Just now they're really...
Much more alive.
Okay.
Yeah, apparently, like, discovering these worms was, like, a super big thing at the time because people assumed that at altitudes that high, there couldn't be life, but they're proven wrong.
It seems like they're always discovering things that are alive in places where they didn't think anything could live, like in Antarctica or like on the International Space Station. There's things living that they no one thought could live there.
Tardigrades.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Someone last year did mess up with an Israel mission to the moon. A mission with tardigrades exploding the surface on the moon.
Yeah, we talked about that.
They probably didn't survive.
We talked about that on our podcast, that they crash landed on the moon. So there are potentially tardigrades alive on the moon right now.
But the thing that maybe you haven't talked about is that there's a scientist that have made a doctorate about this and start shooting tardigrades with very fast.
Did talk about
that. Yes, and it was so interesting. So he thought probably they didn't survive the crash.
And because, they stopped reproducing also.
Fact that Santiago knows about this means that like he fits in really well with our family.
Yes.
Because these are the things we talk about
too. These are the things we're very interested in. We love tardigrades.
Yeah.
Yep. So what else can you tell us about these glacial ice worms, Henry?
Okay, so apparently they can actually, they cannot actually survive freezing, but they're like so close to the point where they can't live there, but they're not quite there.
Wait, what?
Like so these worms are, like they technically, like they can't, like they can freeze to death, and they're almost at the point that they freeze to death there, but like not quite.
Okay.
Like it's just under the temperature that they die.
So they almost freeze to death, but then they don't, and they stay alive.
Yeah, that's basically their their habitat.
Okay, wow.
It's kind of creepy.
Yeah, it's a little creepy. I mean, apparently they're just like very close to normal earthworms, but darker.
What size are they?
They're like an inch long, about. So they're not like a normal earthworm.
Little black inch long worms that crawl out of the glacier.
Yeah. Basically, how they do survive up there without getting frozen to death is they have a lot of pigment, meaning they can like go up to the surface and absorb a lot of heat.
I guess that's why they're black, right?
Yeah.
So that they can absorb all that heat because dark things absorb the sun better.
Yeah. It's also discussed in the article that this could like mean that on like super freezing planets there might be life still, so that's pretty interesting.
That is interesting.
Yeah. They're always talking about how like maybe like the moon of Io, which is one of Saturn's moons, is probably one of the places where there might be life in the universe.
Oh yeah, isn't there like a ton of water below the surface of the ice?
But because there's, it would have to be like the type of life that could live in really cold conditions like these worms, I guess.
Yeah.
Or under the surface of the ice where the temperatures are more...
It'd still be very cold, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
Maybe if these worms could, like, swim or something.
Some worms can. There are worms that can swim.
Oh, maybe there's some on Saturn. On Saturn's moon, I guess.
Yeah. Allison, you want to share your story?
Sure. City of Kyle, Texas is attempting to gather Kyles for a Guinness World Record.
Wait, what?
So this is very exciting. So the city of Kyle, Texas.
Lots and lots of Kyles.
So many Kyles. Is calling on people who share the city's name to gather at an annual festival to set a Guinness World Record.
For a number of people named Kyles in the same place? Yes,
they are.
Okay.
They are trying to gather as many Kyles as possible. And they will gather them all for the annual Kyle Pie in the Sky Hot Air Balloon Festival, September 3rd through 5th. So that's coming right up. If your name is Kyle, then you need to find the city of Kyle, Texas, and go there.
Kyle, Texas is in Hays County.
Where is that?
Which is south of Austin and north of San Marcos. So we are going to drive through Kyle, Texas in about 3 weeks.
Oh, we'll be there, yeah.
We're going to drive right through Kyle. Kyle is kind of...
I feel like the name Kyle sort of has a reputation for being the name of Hyperactive Kids. So I'm not sure it how does. Well this is going to go.
Really?
Yeah, there's kind of a slang. There's like an American slang where if you call someone a Kyle, how do you explain what a Kyle is?
Like people like jokingly call someone that name who's like a super hyperactive kid and with like too much energy.
Like a really excitable kid. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like Garen's like with even, the Garen type.
Sort of. Yeah.
So Kyle might Except be like,
it's a, like it's a younger boy yes. or like a teenage boy.
If Karen has a child, maybe it's Kyle and he's out of control.
Yeah.
Karen needs
to. Yeah. It's sort of like that.
Manage Kyle better.
But all these Kyles are going to gather in Texas, in Kyle, Texas, for the largest gathering of Kyles ever.
Yes.
And hopefully there will still be a Kyle, Texas afterwards.
And if your name is Kyle, just FYI, you will receive a free weekend pass for the festival. So if your name is Kyle, you get in free.
Got to change my name.
And and you get a free t-shirt.
Oh.
Yes.
This is more or less like the Joshua. Do you know what
Joshua?
Is the Joshua? Like it starts all with a meme. Like one person make a big group in Facebook, all full of Josh,
of the people
of Josh's.
Uh-huh.
And
I heard about that a little
he
bit.
He sent a location in somewhere in United States, and he said that they will fight for their names.
I heard about this.
It actually
it's like
happened.
A battle of the did Joshes they, or something like that.
Did they have the battle?
Yes, and it was huge.
Oh,
like, and it'll start with a meme.
That's really funny.
I think I heard about that, and it sort of grew over like maybe 2 or 3 years until they actually had like a Josh gathering.
Yeah, it was huge.
Yeah. It's crazy.
That's great.
That's pretty funny. All right, well, let's do something we have not done on the podcast for a little while. Let's do either or.
Oh yeah, either or.
So either or, the way this works is I name two things, and then you tell me which one is the right answer, and I tell you if you're right or wrong.
And then I disagree.
And then everyone
then
disagrees with me
yeah.
about it, but I will tell you if you're right or wrong. The first one is donut or croissant?
Probably donut.
Croissant.
Croissant.
Okay.
All right. I see how it so is. Henry says donut. Mom and Santiago say croissant. Mom and Santiago, you are correct. Henry.
Although, wait. Now I'm thinking of those chocolate croissants we had in Portugal. Those were really good.
Croissants are really good.
It can be sweet. It can be savory. You can make a sandwich.
That is true.
Now, donuts are good, too. I'm not going to say donuts are bad. Sometimes when we talk about either or, we talk about two good things, and you have to choose which one's better. Croissants are just amazing because the way they make them, they've got all those layers of butter and pastry.
And cinnamon. Sometimes cinnamon that is so good.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Some good cinnamon. And sometimes they're filled with, like, chocolate or something. A really good croissant is a really impressive, like, as someone who likes to bake bread, I'm just amazed that they can make a really good croissant.
Because
the whole process, you take, like, a big
thing of
butter.
Like, and you make
and
a
then
sheet
you keep
out of
folding it.
It
into the dough over and over and over until it becomes what's called laminated dough. So it has all these flaky layers. There
that
is a bakery nearby here that makes really good croissants. That only Mom and I have been to. Maybe someday we'll take you there.
I mean, other people have been there.
Well,
but you
that's
haven't.
True.
Yeah.
But okay. Of the people who live in this house, only Mom and I have been there.
Yes.
And they make really good croissants and other things. They also make giant apple fritters. But, all right. So that was the first one. The second, either or, is crocodile or hippopotamus.
Hippopotamus, I guess.
For what, like?
Yeah, that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Crocodile or hippopotamus?
Okay, here's just my opinion. In every way, a hippopotamus sort of wins. Like, they're more deadly, and they look cool. Well, they sort of look cooler. I don't know about that.
I think crocodiles.
Baby hippos actually do look.
Crocodiles are kind of cute.
Well, but have you seen baby hippos, though?
They are so cute, yes. They're scary.
But the hippos, like, are really scary, like, very violent. very, very violent.
Yeah, true.
They would probably, I think if you had a crocodile and a hippo, the hippo might win in a fight.
Yeah, so if you're basing it off of that, then probably hippos. And if you're basing it off of the cuteness of their babies, probably still hippos. So I'm just going to say hippos.
Henry says hippo.
Crocodiles are really cute.
Allison?
Yeah.
I'm going to say hippo.
Santiago?
I think that crocodiles are less terrible than hippos.
So you're going to say crocodile?
Yeah.
It really all depends right on
Henry
what you're asking.
Henry says hippo. Mom says hippo. They are correct. I'm sorry, Santiago.
Okay. I think it really depends.
Crocodile was not the right answer.
But if you're basing it off of, like, survivability, then
okay,
I guess crocodile would win.
The baby hippo thing is part of it. But I learned something about hippopotamuses on the internet. I think this is true. I'm not 100% sure, but I think this is true. Did you know that hippos do not swim? They run across the bottom of lakes and rivers.
Yeah, that actually
they
does
sink
matter
to the bottom and run across the bottom.
Makes sense.
So they sink that, all the way to the
bottom. Isn't that weird?
How would they
that's
swim?
So
think about it.
How fast do they run?
Very
really
fast.
Really fast.
Really
okay,
fast.
Okay, but if you think about it, how would they swim?
And they are much more dangerous. So for that reason, you might vote for crocodile. So I understand what you're saying.
But
Santiago,
at the same
they can
time,
open their mouth like 120 degrees. And no.
They are one of the most dangerous animals on Earth in terms of like damaging
humans.
Yeah.
I mean,
very,
I wouldn't
very,
want
very
to
dangerous
deal with one, but if I'm not dealing with it, then hippos
are also pretty dangerous.
Well, yeah.
I'm thinking of Hungry Hungry Hippos, the game. Do you have that in Spain?
Yes.
Yeah, where they just...
That's a pretty fun game,
mouth
too. So that also goes in favor of the hippo.
But besides mosquitoes, like, hippos are the second deadly animal in Africa. Like,
oh, true.
Yeah.
Shout out to mosquitoes, though.
Yes, mosquitoes. The next one is... Dragon or sea monster?
Sea monster.
I'm going to say sea monster.
Sea monster.
Yeah, sea monster.
They're more mysterious.
You like, all say sea monster.
Yeah. Yes.
I'm afraid you're all wrong.
Okay.
No.
Let me explain myself.
No.
Let me explain myself
Dragons
here
are magical.
You are wrong. Sea monsters are magical, too.
But sea monsters are more mysterious. Like, when they go underwater, where do they go? Whereas with dragons, like, you can see
they
them fly off.
They go underwater.
Well, yeah, but you don't know where they went. And right, so, a lot of times you'll just see part of them and it'll be like really scary.
And you know,
but with dragons, like
sea monsters, like in the movie Luca.
Oh, maybe
they were pretty cool.
But
those are cool.
I don't know. I feel like dragons, like you can see where they are more and they're less mysterious. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Like,
they're
all
less
dragons,
cool.
All dragons do is burn up villages and hoard treasure.
They hoard treasure, it's true. But maybe they can grant you wishes.
Did they pay you some treasure for this?
Has a sea monster ever granted anyone a wish?
No.
Have you met a sea monster?
Cool. Ursula.
As Henry says, like, it's more mysterious. Like, you, it's more realistic, the existence of a sea monster. Like, you look at the bottom at the sea when you are very far off the coast. And it's
like the Marianas Trench.
And and it's like, whoa, I can see that.
Yeah, you don't know what's down there.
Yeah.
There probably
but
are.
But if you look in the sky, you can
there
see the sky.
And it's like clear.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, unless it's like super foggy, but it usually isn't.
All right, next either or is popcorn or potato chips?
Potato chips.
I'm going to say potato chips, especially. Yeah, I'll get to that later. I'll get to that later.
Oh, I'm torn. I don't know. I think you have to have popcorn in a movie theater, but anywhere else, potato chips are better.
I'm going to be honest. This one's difficult for me. Usually they're not that difficult, but this one I find very difficult. They're both, they're
good
both really
for
good.
This one.
There's reasons to like either one. Santiago and Henry said potato chips.
And so did Mom.
I just never made up my mind.
I thought Mom said popcorn. Did everybody say potato chips?
I couldn't make up my mind, and I still am not sure, really. I have a great reason for this, honestly. Anyway.
Well, we need you to make up your mind. We can't move forward.
Okay, I'm going to say popcorn, just to disagree.
Okay, well, Santiago and Henry said potato chips, and unfortunately, that's not the right answer. Popcorn is the right answer.
Okay, let me explain.
Now, they're both
this
really good. Okay. I do like that potato chips can come in lots of different flavors, And my understanding is Spain has a lot of different flavors of potato chips.
It does. Like it
lots
has
and lots, like hundreds or like
something. Like an entire room of full of different kinds of potatoes.
Yes.
Nice. Okay, so.
But
in my
popcorn
opinion,
has two things that give it an advantage. One, you can eat it when you're in a movie theater, when you're watching a movie. That's like huge. And the other
nobody
thing
will
is
stop you if you're eating potato chips in a movie
corn
theater, though.
Caramel popcorn.
Okay, caramel that's corn, true. Yeah. But if we're just talking about normal, like, salt chips and normal, like, salt and butter popcorn, then it's clearly salt chips because, like, and, okay, so recently, like, I've always sort of suspected that the smell is all popcorn really has going for it, but, like, I sort of know someone who got COVID and still can't really smell, and popcorn is just ruined for them because it tastes horrible without the smell.
The smell of popcorn is a big part of it. Like,
but
when you
with
walk,
chips, it's
when
both.
You walk into a movie theater and you smell popcorn, you always want popcorn.
Yeah,
the
and because
smell
affects taste, it makes popcorn taste good.
Yeah.
But without the smell, it's apparently pretty gross, so.
No, I lost
from
my
what
smell,
I've heard.
I lost my sense of smell a few years ago. Not, it wasn't COVID. It was, I had like a sinus infection, and for like a month afterwards, I couldn't smell anything really. And I remember Greg making caramel popcorn and the
caramel
popcorn.
I'm not talking about caramel popcorn.
I know, but
here,
it was not good. It was like nothing was good. Honestly,
well,
nothing
I mean,
was good. Chips weren't good.
I've heard
either.
Chips are still pretty good. That what I'm saying is
it's
that
the salty, I guess.
Yeah.
What I'm saying is that like if we're just talking about like salt chips and we're talking about salt and butter popcorn, then salt chips would win because it has the smell and the taste, whereas popcorn is basically just the smell.
All right, there's one last either or, and that is earthquake or tornado.
Which is worse or which is more survivable?
Earthquake.
No.
Okay.
Or tornado.
Okay,
he will never get details. I'm going to say tornado.
Earthquake.
I'm going to think about this.
Have you been in an earthquake?
I don't think I have. Maybe I have. Tornadoes look cooler, so I'm going to go with tornado.
Okay. Santiago, you said
earthquake. Yeah.
Allison, what'd you say?
Tornado.
And Henry said tornado. Mm. Santiago, you got that one right.
Oh, yay.
Why is that right?
And Allison and Henry, you got it wrong. Earthquake is, if you actually experience the earthquake, it's much more survivable than if you actually experience the tornado. Like if a tornado came right through our house versus if our house was in an earthquake.
But about that though.
Now,
so,
earthquakes can earthquakes, be really bad.
Earthquakes.
Tornadoes can be just devastating.
Okay, but that's only in a place.
Large scale damage though. Like
also, I'd like to mention, one, tornadoes usually never touch down or never go very far, usually.
And when they do, it's a very limited area.
Yeah, and also, the second thing I was going to mention is, we live in a place with no basements, so that's sort of like, it would be devastating, but you can survive if you're in a basement.
One thing I think we
you
should
can't
point
survive
out
earthquakes
to Santiago
in a basement.
Is, Texas gets tornadoes.
Yes.
Yay. Yeah.
You will probably hear... You will probably hear while you're here. You probably won't see a tornado, but you probably will hear tornado sirens. Mm-hmm. So when there's a really bad storm and there's a potential tornado, you'll hear sirens going off.
Mm-hmm.
And we all like have to go in like a bathroom or something and wait.
Or something with no windows.
Yeah.
Something stable with no windows.
It's pretty crazy.
Oh.
Like, yeah, but like it
and it
rarely
can, it can
even
happen
like
any time of year. Usually it's during the summer, but there have
summer
been tornadoes
spring.
Like in December.
Mm. Occasionally.
And occasionally there will be one that does really bad things. Like every couple of years,
there's
a bad tornado.
But only to like a limited area still.
Yeah.
And rarely even
Dallas
like,
got hit by one last year. And about maybe 5 years ago, the town we used to live in got hit by a tornado.
Although not the house we used to live in. So that was lucky.
No, not the house we used to live
in. Well, I guess
in,
not really.
But just up the road from where we used to live.
Yeah.
Right. But when there's a tornado warning and you hear the sirens, it just means that a tornado has been spotted somewhere. It doesn't always touch down. And when it does, usually it's a very limited area and then it...
Yeah. Sometimes the
like, it'll get
sirens
like two,
will go off.
Just a few houses.
If there's hail, like hailstones. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we get big hail, like, you know, maybe
okay,
the size of a golf ball.
So putting survivability out of the way, like, even if like, here's my comparison here. If an earthquake doesn't, like, break the ground, then it doesn't look very cool. And even when it does, it still looks just sort of cool.
Yeah.
Whereas with tornadoes, it doesn't even have to touch the ground, and it still looks really cool.
You can see it. That's
true. I've been in earthquakes before, mostly in Japan, where they're pretty common there.
Yeah, but I've seen the fire...
The Ring of Fire?
Ring of Fire. So they're pretty common in Japan. Allison and I were in I think the first time we went to Japan together...
It was in Iga.
I thought it was in Nikko. No, what's the name of the town with the deer?
No, it was in the Ninja Town.
Oh, okay.
It was in Iga.
But like, we were in a hotel, and we were like maybe on the fourth or fifth floor. And in the middle of the night, we could kind of feel it shaking, and you could hear the water in the toilet sloshing around because the building was shaking.
It's a little scary. I didn't know what to do either. I don't know what to do in it.
I feel like here in Japan, a tornado can be more deadly than in Europe because here the houses are more thinner, like are from wood or some of materials. In Europe are from concrete or solid rock. So we don't have tornado, but we have something similar that the sea makes a huge storm. Mm-hmm. And sometimes there are some village.
A typhoon?
More like a cyclone, maybe?
No, I don't know what it's called in that part.
Hurricane?
In Mallorca, we call it Cap de Fibló. There is a Spanish word for that. It's only a Catalan word for that. So it's like...
Maybe like a water spout?
Huge. But you will see somewhere in Mallorca, like from the sea... a line of trees missing. Like, but huge.
So just a really bad storm that comes in from the sea.
Sort of like a hurricane, sort of like, not really quite a tsunami, but like, sort of
is
like
it
a hurricane.
Wet? Like, does it come with rain?
I don't know. I've never been in one, but people say that it's like a huge storm, wet, with a lot of wind,
That does sound like a tropical storm or a hurricane.
Parts of Texas get hurricanes too, but we don't really get them here because we're too far from the coast. Mm. But if you were down like in Houston
get hit with
hurricanes sometimes.
Yeah, they got hit with one a couple of years back that was really bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I feel like they're more like over a large area usually. And it's more, I mean, sometimes it'll knock down trees and things, but I think flooding is also a big risk.
Mm. Yeah. Well, there's only one last thing to do on the podcast, and that is...
Three words for you. Treat yourself.
Treat yourself. Treat yourself.
So every time on the podcast, at the end of the podcast, we try some snacks, and we rate them on how good they are. So I'm going to go get some snacks, and I think what I have this time are different flavors of potato chips.
Really? Oh. Okay.
I was mostly right. I have two flavors of potato chips. I have smoked Gouda and garlic potato chip.
I think that I tried this before.
Oh.
And I have Carolina barbecue potato chips. Hey. These are both kettle potato chips. They're thick. And the other one is not a potato chip, but it is a similar snack. It is Cheetos Mexican street corn flavor. It's a limited edition.
It's so popular in Spain. Like, really? So popular.
Cheetos are?
Cheetos are so popular.
Yeah, Cheetos are really popular here. But the Mexican street corn, I think, is a new flavor that I've never tried before. So, which one should we try first? The Cheetos or one of the potato chips?
Probably the chips to start out.
All right, let's try the smoked Gouda and garlic. It sounds pretty good. I don't know how this could be bad, but sometimes stuff surprises me. I think it's going to be good, and it ends up being bad. So, what we do is we each try these... And then we rate it on a scale of the best is delicious. And then after that is okay. Or it might be meh, which is like, it's just not very good. Or it's gross, which is like,
yeah, gross.
Not very good. All right. So I'm going to take a couple and pass them around. I'm going to mute the mic so we're not chewing into the mics. All right, what do we think of the smoked Gouda and garlic kettle chips?
By the way, usually we rate each snack on the segment from like a 4-point scale, like from the bottom to top.
Yeah, I just did that.
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't paying attention.
You're tired.
Okay. Okay. What do you think? Anyone want to give their opinion?
Me.
All right.
I think it was okay. Like, I tasted...
You thought it was just okay, maybe not as good as you thought it might be.
Like, I taste a lot of chips with garlic, and I taste, like, really, really good things, and I think that they are not bad, but it won't be my first option.
My opinion's pretty close to that, although I think I liked the cheese flavor, so I'm going to say it was delicious.
Yum, 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 yum. Delicioso!
Santiago's laughing.
Okay.
Do you know what that's from?
No.
There's a cartoon called Dora the Explorer.
It's a children's show.
Oh, in Spanish it's opposite. Like, they, the things, they, it's in English.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, how funny.
Anyways.
Yes, that's what her backpack says when you put something in the backpack.
Yeah. Ooh. Anyways.
Anyway.
I'm going to agree with Santiago and call it okay, mainly because it does taste really good, but I can't have like a lot of it at once without getting tired of it. So
I gotta say, kettle chips aren't always my favorite. They're a little thick. The thick chips, I think I like thinner chips better, but still, you know, they're a thing. They're kind of good. Allison?
Yeah, I agree. I think it's okay.
Okay.
There's like a heavy potato flavor because the chip is kind of thick. And I think that you'd be able to taste like the stuff on it better on a thinner chip. Also, I think it needed more garlic.
Well, the next one's a kettle chip, too. This is Carolina barbecue flavored. So Carolina barbecue, before we lived in Texas, when I was in law school, we lived in North Carolina. And North Carolina is famous for its barbecue. Texas is famous for barbecue, but they're different kinds of barbecue. Yeah. In Texas, it's usually beef barbecue, and it usually comes with like a ketchup-based sauce, like a red sauce. Carolina barbecue is pork. It's like pulled pork, and it usually comes with a vinegar sauce, like a vinegar and red pepper sauce. So this is based on, well, it says it's based on Carolina barbecue. It doesn't taste that much like Carolina barbecue.
There's mustard in it. That's South Carolina barbecue.
Well, that's true. It could be South Carolina barbecue.
I am not that knowledgeable on this topic.
Anyway.
Don't worry. We are doing
nobody is, but yeah.
But I thought it was delicious.
Yum, 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 yum,
me
yum.
Too.
Delicioso.
I think I like this one better than the smoked Gouda.
Yeah, me too. I liked it.
Yeah. Santiago?
I don't really know. Like, I think that the flavor was too strong.
Too strong?
Yeah.
So what would you rate it?
But I put it like delicious. It's okay.
Still delicious or okay?
Still delicious.
Okay. Allison, you seem to be struggling.
I was just not expecting the mustard, and to me, the mustard's overpowering. I would like it better without the mustard and with a little more of a smoky flavor. I think I'm going to give it an okay.
All right. And then the last one is the Mexican street corn flavored Cheetos. Have you ever had Mexican street corn? There's something called, in Mexico, they call it elotes.
Ah, elotes.
Yeah.
That's very good.
I think I have elotes before.
Yeah, it's really good. If you go down to Mexico, they'll like take corn and they'll put cheese and mayonnaise and like red pepper on it, and it really tastes good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what these taste like. I've never tasted these before, but we'll pass them around. Let's go this way this time.
Okay.
All right. Anyone have thoughts about the Mexican street corn Cheetos?
Okay. So first of all, it doesn't really taste like it. I mean, it sort of tastes like it, but not really. Like, there's a vague similarity. So.
Yeah, I agree. It doesn't taste much like elotes.
It also doesn't taste good, so I'm going to give it a meh.
Meh. M-E-H. Meh.
It's way too strong.
I agree. It's got a weird flavor. I expected to like these, and I don't like them very much. They're kind of meh.
What do you think?
Well, like, it's a thing that really reminds my home, so I will give okay. But, like... but I really think that it can really be improved. Like, the flavor is too strong.
Mm-hmm. It could be better, yeah. Allison?
Yeah, I think I'll give it a meh. It doesn't taste like... It tastes like baked butter or something. It doesn't taste like cheese.
It tastes really artificial. I think that's the thing. It doesn't... I don't know. It's really weird. It's got a strange flavor.
But Cheetos is always artificial. Like, you don't expect Cheetos like doing something very natural. It's orange.
It's bright it's orange usually.
It's true. Do they have the flaming hot Cheetos in Spain, the ones that are bright red?
Yeah.
Yeah. Those are popular here, too.
Do you
too.
Like those?
I haven't tried. I have the popular ones are something called pelotazos, like are little balls.
Just the round circles?
Yeah, that is like soccer balls, orange, and some like is gusanitos, like is this, but the original flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. Those are also popular there, but not the balls for some reason. Yeah. I don't know why.
So... That is Treat Yourself, and that is our podcast. So thank you, Santiago and Henry and Allison, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you especially to anyone who's listening. If you are listening, let us know. You can email us at talktodabpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us at Talk to Dad Podcast on Facebook and Instagram, and at TTD Podcast on Twitter. And also at talktodadpodcast.com, where you can download or stream all of our episodes from 1 to 253. If you like the podcast and you want to help us out, there's two things you can do. One, you can tell a friend about the podcast. And the other thing you can do is you can leave us a review. If you subscribe, rate, or review us and leave us a 5-star review, that helps other people maybe be able to find the podcast as well. This has been a lot of fun, and we will see you later.